Kara, a little wet. Commissioner Ball, we didn't let the rain dampen our spirits. Let me begin again by thanking the Department of Agriculture, which has done a really great job in organizing this fair. I've been to the fair many, many times. I've never been to the fair in a thunderstorm before. It's actually more exciting in a thunderstorm than it is on a bright, sunny day, but I'm sure it's going to clear up. This fair, I think, is in many ways the best fair that the state has seen in a long, long time. We have a lot of innovations in this fair. When you first come in, you'll see a new sign, which is emblematic of the changes we've made. We've spent a lot of time investing in upstate New York over the past 4 years, and this fair represents those investments. A new presence of Taste of New York. Taste of New York celebrates what we make in New York, our dairy products, wine, beer, distillery. So you'll see that. There's a new yogurt bar. Yogurt has been a great industry for the state of New York. We were worried about the farming industry, the dairy industry, and the product. The yogurt industry obviously buys milk, and it has worked extraordinarily well. We work very hard to bring the yogurt manufacturers. The yogurt manufacturers are then buying milk from our farms right here in New York. As a matter of fact, it's working so well that we can't even keep pace with the needs of the yogurt manufacturers now. So much of that is on display. The I Love New York tourism ad, which we've invested heavily in and has brought tremendous dividends. We had a simple theory. We said if people see upstate New York, they will come back to upstate New York because there is nothing like it. And the advertising campaign did just that. We've increased tourism revenue about $4 billion in the state of New York. So a lot to celebrate about upstate New York, and a lot of it is here at the fair, plus the traditional benefits of the fair. So I encourage all New Yorkers to come, enjoy, rain or shine, and we can tell you that firsthand.
Governor, it's been almost a year since you had a fair director permanent here. The search is ongoing. Where are you on that?
Search is ongoing. As you can see, we're trying to modernize the fair and make it even more attractive and more productive. And we're exploring a number of different management options for the fair. And that's what we're working through. But there's no doubt that when you look at this fair today, I think you see that it is superior to the fairs that we've had in recent years. And our goal is to keep making it better, getting attendance up higher and higher. More and more attractions to get more people to the fair, however that takes. We're exploring partnerships with private sector companies to see if that makes sense economically. So we're open to everything. We're working through it. But in the meantime, the fair is doing better than ever.
Governor, just a couple of quick political questions. You've been invited to take part in a debate with Zephyr Teachout prior to the Democratic primary. Do you expect that to happen?
You know, I'll leave that to the campaigns to work out and whatever they decide.
Can I ask you, we saw some polls this week that continue to show you with a sizable lead over various opponents. After all of the bad publicity that you've gone through in recent months, does that surprise you?
You know, first I take all these polls with a grain of salt, but I think I've been governor for 4 years. People know me. They know my record. They know what we've gotten done. They know the state is moving in the right direction. They know that we've made a lot of progress, 400,000 new jobs, taxes down. The government is working. Democrats are working with Republicans, believe it or not. We got four budgets done on a row after years of Albany being a joke. So I think they get that. And I'm gratified by it.
Governor, are you willing to debate Ms. Teachout?
I'll leave that to the campaigns to talk through.
You saw the Common Core.
Just that. I'll leave it to the campaigns to work out if there should be debates, who would participate. That's a campaign tactic that I will leave to the campaigns.
You saw the Common Core people outside. What did you say to them?
You know, Common Core. I understand their fear about Common Core. Kara is now off in college, but Michaela, my young one, is still in high school. And the testing and the constant testing and the volume of testing and the pressure that they put these kids under. And then the Common Core tests, in my opinion, were premature. And they put the child under double pressure. You have the pressure of a test, and then you have the pressure of a test that you, the student, wasn't really prepared for. And everything is very competitive now. And how you do in school is obviously indicative of what school you get into next. So I get the pressure. We passed a law in Albany that postponed the Common Core tests from counting on the permanent transcript, because my opinion was they weren't ready. They were rushed, and they weren't ready, and it was unfair to the students, and it was unfair to the teachers, who were then going to get graded on those tests. So the law says the student will take the test, but the grade won't count on the permanent transcript, so that should allow everybody to take a deep breath. Take the test, but the score doesn't count on the transcript, so there's no cause for undue anxiety.
Governor, one more, guys. Back from the Middle East, we saw a tragic story out of that region yesterday with the death of a photographer, a news photographer. Just wondering how you react to that.
First, condolences to the family. I mean, to lose a loved one is tragic. To lose a loved one in this way, to have to see those photos, I mean, I can't imagine the horror and the pain that that family is going through. So I urge us all to remember them in our prayers. Second, one thing you get in Israel, which is Israel's under attack. Israel's under attack from Hamas. Vehement attack, missiles constantly. We then went and saw an extensive network of underground tunnels that go from Gaza to Israel, built by Hamas, that just shows you the persistence of this enemy and the aggressiveness of this enemy. Hamas wants Israel gone, period. And that is what they are focused on, so much so that they'll spend millions of dollars building these tunnels, concrete reinforced tunnels, rather than investing in their community. And one of the points that they make in Israel, which I think is very true, is yes, it's a Middle East problem, and yes, it's an Israel problem, but it's bigger than that. We learned that lesson on 9/11. Terrorism is not just a Middle East problem, it is an international threat, and it is getting worse, and this nation should not be blind to it. And it's Hamas, and it's ISIS, and it's the Brotherhood, but there's a collective sense of anti-democracy. They're enemies to Israel, they're enemies of the United States of America. And it is our problem. So anyone who watches the TV and says, well, that's over there, I think that is short-sighted. It's over there now. It can be over here tomorrow. It was over here. And it keeps coming back to the extremism, anti-American, anti-democracy extremism. And it's a Middle East problem, and it's an American problem, and we have to come to grips with it sooner rather than later.
Governor, if you have anything on anti-fracking? Ms. Frack, too. The anti-frack, is there a decision? I mean, this has been going on for years. Where are we with that?
There's nothing new on fracking. On medical marijuana, we passed the bill allowing medical marijuana. We gave the Department of Health a reasonable amount of time to put in the right regulations, because medical marijuana is a great thing if it works well. If it goes bad, then we all have a problem, right? Because you could be distributing an illegal substance. However, for young children, especially young children who have epilepsy, there's been compounds that have been found to be very helpful. And we've asked the Department of Health to expedite the approval of those compounds. So we're doing everything that we can.
Has the federal government signed off?
Yes,
on that?
They will. They have, and they are expediting. The federal government is not part of this process.
Governor, the AFL-CIO declined to make an endorsement in the gubernatorial race. They were with you in 2010. PEF, of course, endorsed Professor Teachout. They were with you in 2010. wondering, what does this mean for your reelection effort?
Actually, Jimmy, I think you're wrong on the facts. The teachers did not support me in 2010.
I said AFL-CIO. I know. PEP did.
Let me explain to you. Teachers did not support me, and CSEA did not support me. You can't get the AFL-CIO endorsement without the teachers and without CSEA. In 2010, they basically passed on the AFL-CIO vote. But they did not support me. Why didn't they support me? Because I said to them in the campaign, this is what I'm going to do. To the teachers, I said, I think teacher evaluation is very important. And it's not just about more money for education. We spend more money for education than any state in the nation. It's about how we're spending the money. It's about performance. I also said to the public employee unions that the budget was too big and taxes were too high, and we were going to have to streamline the state government because we couldn't afford it anymore. Upstate New York, you have all sorts of people leaving because the taxes are too high. And there's no secret, if you have the highest taxes in the nation, you're going to lose people who go to lower taxing jurisdictions. That was my issue with the teachers and CSEA then. I have the same issue with the teachers and the CSEA today. The only difference is at the AFL-CIO convention, they didn't pass the way they did 4 years ago. Now, besides the teachers and the AFL-CIO, teachers and CSEA, I have the overwhelming support of the union movement in this state, and I'm very proud of it. Teachers and CSEA, we have a legitimate difference of opinion. We did for the past 4 years. My guess is we will for the next 4 years. And there's an honesty in this. I'm not going to say what they want me to say to get their endorsement. And their position is, if I'm talking about streamlining government and reducing costs, they can't support me. And the teacher's position is, they have problems with these performance evaluations. They did 4 years ago, they do today. But again, the overwhelming number of labor unions in the state support me, and I'm proud of that. The way it happens to work, you can't get the AFL-CIO without those two specific unions.
What can we expect from you in the campaign? You know, in 2010, you had the wonderful bus trip and tour. More
we're
events.
Going to do fairs in thunderstorms. Okay. We're going to take that niche. It's a totally different experience, and eat soggy sausages, which is also a different kind of culinary taste. So things like that, a little out of the ordinary, just to mix it up.
The layoffs at Remington Arms, have you spoken with Remington or with Herkimer County?
Yes, the layoffs at Remington Arms are a function of Remington moving to the state of Alabama and consolidating operations all across the country. You look, it is not a New York, I know we tend to think we're New York, it must be about us. Sometimes it's not about us. They are consolidating operations from all across the country, from red states, from blue states. This is not about politics. This is about, they have a massive space they took over in Alabama, and they are consolidating their operations in Alabama, and whatever operations they are consolidating, that unit from the New York plant has moved down to Alabama. We have been talking to Remington about rehabbing and redoing their facility here in New York, which is a very important part of New York. It's a big employer for New York. Their plant here is old, and we want to work with them on restoring that.
Thank you, guys. We got to go.
Thanks. Stay dry, guys.